We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Episode. This is Richie, and I'm glad you guys are joining me today. On today's podcast, I'm going to get into some candidates for the Hornets vacancy at head coach, and then I'm going to rank the coaches, the five coaches that I've profiled so far in the final segment. So just my personal preference based on the information that I have, what I know of these guys. It's truly hard to know everything there is, and we're not sitting in on the interviews to get a better glimpse of these guys, but on the research that I've done with these guys, and I spent some time looking into them, I'm going to give my personal preference top five, and I'm going to rank those at the end. So stick around for that. Before we dive into the episode, I do want to read off a recent review on Apple Podcast, and I would recommend that if you haven't gotten around to doing that yourself, take some time now as I'm reading this one, and you guys can do the same. This review is called On Top of the News, and the review states, "It's been a tough season for Hornets fans this year, and I truly appreciate the continued content BuzzBeat provides when it would be so easy just to forget and or drop Hornets coverage like most of the national media has. I also appreciate the insight from the BuzzBeat crew and am looking forward to their continued coverage of our new Hornets team moving forward. Thank you, and keep on keeping on." When I look at this season, obviously it's not completely over yet, but it's getting there. It was a very difficult season to keep the content up, to keep the coverage of the Hornets up. And I don't blame anyone for tailing off as the season went along, because it was some of the same old stuff as we went throughout the year. There was optimistic views as you got into the season, but the farther you went along, it was the same old Hornets. And with having a new kid back in October, so now we've got two of them, it really made it hard for me to want to watch these games live. And it was difficult just because of the bedtimes as well. But juggling the kids, knowing that the Hornets are not appointment TV viewing where you just drop everything, turn on the TV, start taking notes on the game, I found myself watching the games more on delay. I found myself watching the games the day after, which didn't allow us to do as many post-game pods as we wanted to do. And I tried to aim, like my goal this year was to aim for about 7 to 8 episodes per month. We did not reach that. I would say we probably averaged closer to 6-7 episodes sometimes per month. And I know that doesn't seem like a big difference, a big drop off, but that was the overall aim for this BuzzBeat season. And we didn't get there. And I know that people appreciate the content that we are putting out, but I know deep down, you guys probably don't know this, but I wanted to do more. But we do appreciate you guys sending in these reviews. And clearly we keep doing this because we read reviews like this and you love the coverage that we have. And so moving forward, we just wanted to kind of continue the momentum heading into next season, heading into the offseason, and keep that coverage for you guys. I know there's a lot of Hornets podcasts out there, different audiences for different podcasts, but I know there's people that keep coming back to ours for the specific things that we provide. All right, let's get into this. On the previous episode, I broke down a couple of coaching candidates and even revealed a small piece of inside information about the coaching search. If you don't know what I'm referring to, you'll have to go back and listen to that episode on Friday. And you might as well do that anyway, because I'm going to rank these five coaches that I've profiled so far. And two of them were on the previous episode. And I will reveal, maybe when the head coaching process is done, you know, maybe where I got that information from later in the process. And I may not reveal the actual name, but maybe I'll give you a clue as to how that was provided to me. But anyway, I wanted to get into three more coaching profiles. I spent some time researching these guys. On the previous episode, I highlighted Charles Lee of the Celtics and Jordy Fernandez of the Kings. I think I like Fernandez better, but I do think that Lee is the leader to get the job as it stands today. For this episode, I'm going to give you guys the lowdown of Chris Quinn of Miami, Lamar Skeeter of Utah, and Kevin Young of the Suns. And so we'll start with Chris Quinn. He's another young coaching candidate who should be on Charlotte's radar for obvious reasons. He is 40 years old, and he has only been with the Heat organization while he's been in the NBA. And he was a player. I think maybe some people recognize his name because he was a player for a handful of seasons in the NBA, and it had been too far removed from his playing days. It's been somewhat recent. He played for the Heat. He played for the New Jersey Nets when it was still New Jersey. He played for the San Antonio Spurs, and then he finished his career in Cleveland. And he played for some really good coaches, Pat Riley, Spoelstra, Greg Popovich. That's a great trio of coaches to have played under. And to use that knowledge that he gained as a player for his assistant coach now, but just like his future position as a head coach, and kind of feeding off those guys and using some of those philosophies for maybe how he handles his coaching career.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And so he played in the NBA, and following his career, he ended up being hired by Northwestern by Chris Collins, who actually is still the basketball coach there today at the university. And he wasn't necessarily hired as an assistant on the bench and you know, going into practices and stuff like that, but his role was behind the scenes a little bit more as the director of player development. He was only there with the team for one season. So to try to draw any kind of conclusions based off of his stay in college would probably be a little bit useless. So I'm not going to sit here and try to gain or gather anything from that. The longevity there was just not enough for me to kind of look at and say, oh, wow, look at Northwestern's basketball program and how that changed since he arrived there. But regardless, he used that position as a stepping stone to get into his coaching career as he went directly into the NBA in 2014, following his 1 year in college. He started off as a player development guy, a player development staff member, and moved his way up to an assistant coach and the director of player development from 2016 to 2020. And he is the Heat's longest tenured assistant coach. And he's always going to be associated with Coach Spo. He's going to be associated with him and the coaching tree there. And that's got to be a point in his favor, because not that this is some kind of controversial take, but Spo is going to go down as one of the best coaches of all time. And I think sometimes he gets overlooked when you think of some of the top coaches in the league throughout the history. And maybe it's just because he's coached up against other good coaches during his time period. But Coach Spo, to me, very underrated, even though I think a lot of people regard him highly. And the Heat, the organization there, have also been perennial winners, like especially during Quinn's time with Spo, with the team. There haven't been too many seasons where the team hasn't made the playoffs with Quinn. There was also a time when he had to fill in for Coach Spo for three games in the 21-22 season because of the health and safety protocols. He finished with a record of 2-1. I mean, we're not going to use that sample size for anything other than just to kind of point that out. And actually, one of those games was against Charlotte. And to my knowledge, if this is still the case, to my knowledge, he and that team set the franchise record in Miami that still stands today, scoring 144 points in a non-overtime game. So another connection to Charlotte, but obviously in a bad way. I think just being associated with the Heat culture and being on the staff for so long has helped his standing with those around him in the league. And that's why his name is going to be in consideration for openings, whether it's Charlotte, whether it's somewhere else. And he's definitely a guy that is going to be regarded highly. Now, I'm not saying that this is the case for every former player, but there's something to be said about point guards and leadership that go hand in hand. The point guard out on the basketball court is an extension of the head coach. And typically they're more vocal. They organize the offense. They rally the troops. There have been head coaches in the NBA that have been former players, former point guards. So I'm not saying he's going to be successful in the NBA as a head coach because he's a point guard, but I do think some of the qualities that you have to have as a point guard translate over to being a coach as well. And sometimes being a guy that is not a standout player too, you've had to work your way up and you know the ins and outs of the game. And you know what it takes to win. You know, like the little stuff that is going to make a team jump up from an 8 seed to a 6 seed, from a 6 seed to a 4 seed. So being a hard worker, being a guy that grinded it out on the NBA level, he knows that also he's got to do that as a coach as well. And then lastly on Quinn, I think there should be a point in his favor because he's been with the organization, the same organization for 10 years or so. And especially on a team that is winning over the years, I think there should be something said about stability and sticking with the team because there's plenty of guys that have bounced around for whatever reason. And I don't think necessarily that a guy that has bounced around, you know, to 4 or 5 organizations, that means he's a bad candidate because there are so many factors that go into why he might be moving. I think with guys that bounce around, a lot of times it's because they are ones that are brought on to a new coaching staff and they're coveted out there, which is great. But I do love Quinn's consistency, his reliability within the Miami organization. And I think that should be considered a positive for him and how he is viewed. Let's switch it over to the next candidate that has been linked with Charlotte and a Charlotte interview at the head coaching position, and that is Lamar Skeeter out of Utah. This is one of the least known candidates, so hopefully we all can learn something about Skeeter throughout this podcast here. And unlike Quinn, like I just mentioned, he has been with a few organizations. And I think Quinn, like I said, is just such an anomaly in that regard. Skeeter was also a basketball player himself. He played D2 basketball. He also played D2 soccer, which was interesting for a season, I believe, at Walsh University in Ohio, where he graduated in 2011. I also graduated college in 2011. So to know that this guy is around my age and could potentially be a head coach, that just feels weird. I can never see myself being that high up. So he has definitely risen up the ranks pretty quickly. He's got his first gig in the NBA, or really, I guess, the G League with the Canton Charge. That's the same organization that Jordy Fernandez worked for a couple of seasons. And his official title there was Basketball Operations Assistant. So from what I've gathered, this wasn't necessarily a coaching job, but he was listed on the coaching staff for the Canton Charge. And in that season, not that he had a ton to do with this, the Charge went 30-20, finished first in their division, but lost in the first round of the playoffs. Following a season with the Charge, he was brought over to the Atlanta Hawks organization in 2013-2014 as a player development coach and video intern. And if you're wondering why Skeeter's name is being mentioned with Charlotte, and not really to discount maybe his achievements or his resume, here's the connection. Jeff Peterson was a scout and coordinator of basketball ops during that 2013-2014 season and likely developed a close relationship with Skeeter since that time. So is it the only reason he's being considered? Maybe not. But I do think that's a big reason as why this name feels like it's coming out of left field. We probably haven't heard about this guy until now. So after one season with the Hawks, he moved with Quinn Snyder from Atlanta to the Jazz. He replaced Snyder, that is, replaced Tyrone Corbin, which is coincidentally, Corbin is now with the Hornets staff as of now. And Skeeter has been with the Jazz since 2014, mostly under Snyder, but also under Will Hardy for the past two seasons in Utah. And it's funny, he actually interviewed to replace Snyder, but obviously, as we know, Will Hardy beat out everyone to get that head coaching job. And since 2014, since Skeeter has been with the Jazz, I feel like Utah has had a good stretch of winning, and they made the playoffs in six straight seasons under Quinn Snyder. Currently, this iteration of the Jazz team is more in a rebuild, retooling mode in Utah these past couple of seasons. There have been points throughout this current season where it feels like the Jazz could have been in contention for a top eight seed, but they started to fall off real quick towards early to middle February. And if I'm not mistaken, they've only won three or four games since the trade deadline. So it's been bad. But overall, I like what I've seen from Hardy and what he has done with the offense. He's been creative, free-flowing, despite not having the overall talent that's needed to compete for a top six, top eight seed. But Markkanen and Sexton, they've been very good under Hardy, and they've been good in that regards. I'm not sure what players Skeeter kind of takes care for of, you know, on an individual workout basis before the game, but I do know he's been praised for his defensive principles, and being a former player likely helps him connect with guys. I don't think I've mentioned this, but he's the youngest candidate that I've spoken about so far. He's 34 years old. So there's not a ton to kind of dig into with him just because there's an unknown quantity about him. And while he may be in serious contention for the job, I do think the connection to Jeff Peterson is helping his cause a lot. So that is the second guy that I just wanted to briefly talk about his background and why he would be in consideration for the Hornets job. The final guy that I would like to talk about today is Kevin Young. Young is the highest paid assistant coach in the NBA and is currently with the Phoenix Suns. He played some Division II basketball, and his first coaching job was a head coach position in an Irish basketball league at the age of 23. So at a very young age, he was a head basketball coach, albeit in an Irish league. And he spent one season abroad, then he returned to the States and he coached two smaller colleges, this time as an assistant though, before he kind of got his foot in the door with the G League and the NBA. His first experience in the league was with the Utah Flash for consecutive seasons, first as an assistant coach, then as a head coach of the Utah Flash. As the head coach, he finished seventh out of the eighth playoff teams, but lost in the first round of those playoffs. He did not do as well in his second stint in the G League with the Iowa Energy, which is now, I believe, the Iowa Timberwolves. And he was actually fired in his second season there. And then, which is interesting, he jumped back to the Utah Flash. But at this point, the Utah Flash had been rebranded. They've been moved. They weren't in Utah anymore. And they were now the 76er affiliate in Delaware. that is where he kind of got his in with the Philadelphia organization and got his first NBA gig in 2016 as an assistant to Brett Brown with the Sixers. That first season, the Sixers didn't make the playoffs. Embiid only played 31 games. But while with the Sixers, he helped that team make the playoffs in the next three seasons before he moved on to the Suns in 2020. So that's where Young has been for the past four seasons with Phoenix. And again, he's the highest paid assistant coach on that staff. He has made the playoffs in every one of those seasons in Phoenix. He even made it to the finals in his first season over there. So he's experiencing winning basketball often. I've said this before on the previous episode. I'm not trying to correlate the assistants to the winning because we have no clue about the day-to-day influence. But the fact remains is that Young is experiencing playoff basketball. He's picking up good habits that will hopefully transfer over to when he actually gets a head coaching job. It's not a surefire reason to hire a guy just because they're on winning franchises, but it sure beats the alternative of looking into guys with poor records. I can't imagine an assistant on Clifford's staff right now, young, old, you know, experienced or not, being looked at and sought after highly for any kind of openings. And like Quinn, Young did fill in for Monty Williams for a four-game stretch, went 2-2. So again, another small sample size as a head coach. Again, nothing really to take away from that. Doesn't mean a whole lot to anyone. So just wanted to put that out there as well as a fill-in head coach. So the last thing I want to talk about is to rank these five guys that we've been profiling over the past couple of episodes. And we're going to do it for my personal preference for the next head coach of the Hornets. And again, I'm only doing the five that I have researched and profiled so far. I'm not going to be talking about Lindsey Harding of the Stockton Kings, David Alderman of Denver, Jay Larinaga of the Clippers, or Sean Sweeney of Dallas. Those guys will not be involved in this list as of yet. Not sure if there's others out there that I forgot to mention, but I will get into the five that we've talked about just real briefly. And I'm going to rank them. Number one, in a tier all by himself, my personal preference to get this job, if I was sitting in on these interviews, I get a sense that Jordy Fernandez would come off very well. Sacramento Kings, I really like his involvement in basketball at such an early age, his experience with these international teams and the job he's done with Team Canada is something to be proud of. Also, I love the fact that he can connect with all types of players, knowing that he's been in different cultures. He's a very creative mind, and he's a clear notch above, in my opinion, the others. And it seems like he's regarded as one of, if not the best, assistant in the league. So my top guy that I would target first would be Jordy Fernandez. The next three guys are kind of in the same tier for me, and it's hard for me to separate them. So they could flip-flop on a daily basis, but let's get to number two, and that's Charles Lee from Boston. For what it's worth, I think Lee will be the hire for the Hornets, or at this point, it's at least his job to lose. I like the fact that he's been on winning teams throughout his career, whether that's been with Atlanta, Milwaukee, the Celtics. He's an ex-player. He's a guard, and that should be an easy way to connect with LaMelo. He's also worked closely with Chris Middleton. I don't think I mentioned that on the previous episode. And the reason I mentioned that, I'd love to see what he could do with Brandon Miller because those two players have had plenty of similarities on the court. They're not obviously identical players, but there are lots of similarities between those two guys. And transferring the knowledge that he gave to Middleton and see if he can apply that to Brandon Miller would be pretty neat to see. Number three for me, Chris Quinn out of Miami. I think being in that culture down there should transfer over to Charlotte, or that's the hope. I think playing under some of the best NBA coaches of all time is a point in his favor. Again, I'm trying to find things that on the surface feel like it's a win for Quinn. I've said this before, but we can't know everything for certain as an outsider. And to have an overly strong preference, like it feels like I do with Jordy Fernandez. It's really just going off of the research that I have. But I'm going to go with Quinn at number three. His longevity with Miami is obviously a good thing too. And then number four, I've got Kevin Young out of Phoenix. I like Young too, and you can very easily sway me to move him ahead of Quinn, potentially maybe even move him ahead of Charles Lee. Like I said, these two, three, four spots right now are very interchangeable. And he's received strong consideration from other openings as well. And I believe he even had the opportunity to replace Monty Williams last offseason in Phoenix. And Devin Booker, he works closely with Young, and Booker has endorsed and backed Kevin Young for any coaching opening moving forward, even the one in Phoenix. So having a close relationship with Booker and working side by side with one of the more skilled offensive players in the league is a bonus. And then number five, I've got Lamar Skeeter in a tier by himself on the bottom rung. And that's mainly because of his inexperience and the lack of true knowledge about him as a future coach. I feel like he's the one guy that I would actually have to sit in on the interview to kind of get more from him. I think the timing for him right now is a little too early. I'd have to give him maybe three or five more seasons in the NBA before he would be a serious candidate for me. Now, not trying to discount his resume, like I've said, but the connection to Peterson in Atlanta is real, and it's likely the reason he's going to get a chance here in terms of just being in the running. So I think that does it for me today on this episode. I spent some time researching these guys, and I hope that doesn't go unnoticed. I know this episode wasn't too long, but I thought it was very informative. Let me know what your top five guys are from the five that I have profiled so far. I hope if you see this on social media, you guys repost it. If you're not on social media, you share this with a Hornets fan. Thank you so much for joining me today. We'll talk to you guys later.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.